To Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. The National Social Security Authority says at least 10 companies are closing down every month in Zimbabwe as the economy continues to decline.
January, February, March, and April, we have 1,891 people who have lost their jobs. And the sectors affected is motor industry, timber, cement.
Thousands of children who migrate to various countries with their parents find it difficult to adjust to new environments after leaving Zimbabwe.
They spend most of their time at school being assimilated into the American culture. When they come home, the parents want to teach them the Zimbabwean culture. So they get conflicted as to which culture they should actually learn.
And we'll give you an update of the 2014 World Cup. Stay tuned. The National Social Security Authority says at least 10 companies are closing down every month in Zimbabwe as the economy continues to decline. A NASA senior official is quoted in the Independent Financial Gazette as saying that the figure could be higher than reported since some firms shut down without reporting to the relevant authorities. NASA estimates that more than 120 companies may close down by the end of this year due to lack of capital and other factors, leaving thousands of workers jobless. Japhet Moyo of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says the economic situation is deteriorating at an alarming rate in the country.
The reality on the ground is that people are losing jobs every day. In fact, I was working on our own statistics yesterday. When I just realized that the first 4 months, January, February, March, and April, we have 1,891 people who have lost their jobs. And the sectors affected is motor industry, timber, cement, engineering, agriculture, security, mining, and furniture. It would appear like the colleagues in politics don't have a solution.
At the end of the day, Mr. Moyo, do you think that this is a crisis?
It's a crisis which I think the politicians have to take it seriously. Unfortunately, when you meet colleagues outside Zimbabwe, a sort of a distorted impression is being given that things are normalizing in this country. And when we talk about these developments, people believe that we are not patriotic. We are supposed not to be talking about these things. I was outside the country in the past month during the ILO conference, and a lot of people were talking about things in Zimbabwe normalizing, when actually Zimbabwe is in a crisis. But I think it's high time for the politicians to reverse their decisions they have taken over the years, especially laws relating to investment, so that we invest, we attract a lot of investors in this country, or local investors that can now plow their resources to projects which can generate jobs. We are in a crisis which we don't want to accept.
That was ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. The ZANU-PF government insists that the Zimbabwe economy is likely to grow by 6% this year.
Direct from Washington, the Voice of America, VOA.
Thousands of children who migrate to various countries with their parents find it difficult to adjust to new environments after leaving Zimbabwe. Some parents who spoke to Studio 7 said their children find it difficult to learn a new language and adjust to different education systems, among other issues. For perspective on this issue, we speak to Tumapi Mema, president of the Association of Zimbabweans Based Abroad.
Those that come when they are very young, that are brought in from Zimbabwe, maybe they are a year old, 4 or 5 years, they are young and they can quickly adjust to the American culture. But what happens as they grow up, they spend most of their time at school being assimilated into the American culture. When they come home,
the parents want to treat them or teach them Zimbabwean culture. So they get conflicted as to which culture they should actually learn, because the parents keep pushing that you are Zimbabwean, you don't belong here, you need to preserve your culture, you need to know your culture. But most of the time they spend it with Americans, not with their parents at school or at play. So in the end, some of the children kind of get confused. They begin to act out in terms of behavior. They get into drugs. They get into behavior that is not acceptable legally, and they get into trouble with the law.
And as a parent, how do you actually handle such situations?
Each area in this country, we have Zimbabwean groups, social groups. We, as Zimbabweans, whenever we meet, whenever we are staying close to each other, we have these social groups where we meet once in a while to celebrate birthdays, to celebrate whatever situation that we need to celebrate. And so I would take my children to mingle with Zimbabweans so they can learn our languages, whether it's Ndebele, whether it's Shona. They can see how we as Zimbabweans alone kind of interact with one another. What is acceptable behavior amongst ourselves as Zimbabweans? And then when we get home, I try to kind of have an open discussion with them to see where they're having issues or where they're having trouble to adjust, whether to as an American or as a Zimbabwean. So that open discussion, they have questions as to their identity, they have questions as to whether we ever going to go back to Zimbabwe and so forth. So it opens up for me to know what they're thinking, what is conflicting them in their minds, and how to help them to settle well.
So the other issue is on language. In most cases, they have to adjust to the American system, you know. So now, how do they adjust in terms of language? Is it difficult?
It depends on the parents. Some parents are very strict. Whilst they appreciate their children learning the American language, English language, they also expect their children to speak their native language, which is either Shona or Ndebele. So with such parents, I've seen kids who can speak both Shona and Ndebele plus English. And then there are the parents who really don't care. They just want their children to speak English, even at home. The language of communication is English. So they never know Ndebele or they never know Shona. They can know a little bit, just to greet, and that's it. So it depends on the parent, the parenting style.
That was Tumapi Mema, president of the Association of Zimbabweans Based Abroad. Journalists this week took to social media to condemn the arrest of state-run Sunday Mail editor Edmund Kutsai, who faces possible terrorism charges. They also deployed the manhunt for Zimbabwe Independent editor Dumisani Muleya and the suspicious burglary that took place at the house of Chronicle editor Mtutuzi Matutu. The one response that caught our attention was that of former Sunday News editor Metusel Moyo, who wrote on Facebook, quote, "It is more dangerous to be an editor than to be a soldier in Zimbabwe," end quote. Reporter Ntukameli Nkomo reached Moyo to elaborate on his comparison.
My comment comes in the echo of, I'm sure you know what has happened to the editor of the Sunday Mail. And also in the same vein, you know, the editor of the Chronicle, Mr. Matutu, at his house broken into. The editor of the Independent, Dumisani Muleya, is under siege. He also believes the police are looking for him. If you take these three incidents, all happening almost simultaneously, it is a clear indication that the media and the journalists in particular, they are under siege, or they are not free. You know, it causes a lot of anxiety and fear to get journalists being arrested almost frequently. So in that regard, you know, I put it that way, that maybe it is safer to be a soldier than to be a journalist in Zimbabwe.
But is it about the rule of law, or it's merely about the ZANU-PF succession wars?
It is clear, I believe, you know, the strategy by ZANU-PF was to first deal with the external enemies, the opposition. Now that the MPC is in disarray and all the other parties have died down, as it were, they are now concentrating on the internal succession issues.
That was former Sunday News editor Metuseli Moyo speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Now we turn to Tatenda Kumbo for an update on the social media sphere.
A man accused of breaking into Oscar-winning actress Sandra Bullock's Los Angeles home has pleaded not guilty to charges that he possessed a stockpile of weapons, the Los Angeles County District Attorney said. Police found the weapons cache, which included several machine guns, at the Monte Rose, California home of 39-year-old Joshua Corbett following his arrest at Bullock's residence in an upscale neighborhood near Beverly Hills, prosecutors said. Chinese billionaire Chen Gaobao, who considers himself China's top philanthropist, is offering to buy lunch for 1,000 homeless people in New York City. Some say the offer is a noble gesture, while others considered it a gimmick from the Chinese tycoon who once made news by offering to buy the New York Times newspaper. Economic Freedom Fighters leader Julius Malema was asked to leave the National Assembly on Thursday night after refusing to withdraw a remark accusing the ANC of murdering 34 striking mine workers in Marikana. Malema said, quote, "Chair, when police reduce crime, you come here and say the ANC has reduced crime. When police kill people, you don't want us to come here and say the ANC government has killed people. That is inconsistent, Honorable Chair." A Blawayo man spent the night alone at a sports bar in Blawayo's Entubane Township, where he was accidentally locked in by a security guard. Kulani Ndlovu, 34, appeared before a local magistrate charged with theft after he allegedly helped himself to different brands of beer, including Viceroy and Pilsner. And a number of men in Gwanda District have reportedly been consuming birth control pills, which they had mistaken for antiretroviral drugs. According to Matabeleland South Provincial Medical Officer, Dr. William Usumani, men in the district normally don't prefer.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women, hosted by Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. In the Women's Forum tonight, we catch up with Irene Petras, the Executive Director of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. Irene was in Washington, where she was attending the U.S.-Africa Civil Society Forum. The forum is in preparation for the upcoming U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit in August in Washington, D.C., and will provide a platform for the U.S. government and Africa heads of state to engage on issues and policies affecting U.S.-Africa relations. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Irene.
Thank you very much.
What is your role here in Washington?
It's part of a broad civil society delegation drawn from around the African continent. And we're here to discuss common issues of concern to civil society organizations around the continent in the lead up to the summit between the U.S. government and the African heads of state.
What have been some of the major concerns that are being raised throughout Africa? I know you're from Zimbabwe, but what are you finding in common regarding human rights?
We've identified three broad areas. The first is around rule of law issues, particularly the independence of the judiciary and how governments are complying with their local and their regional and international obligations, and how they're able to strengthen the judiciaries in different countries on the continent. We've also been looking at issues around marginalized and vulnerable groups and how better to protect them. And third area around transparency and accountability for how countries have been run, how resources are being used. So it's a mixture of those three issues.
Well, what are some of those issues that you'd like to see resolved at the U.S. Leadership Summit, even though President Robert Mugabe is not invited?
Obviously, the issues of rule of law are concern to us as an organization. We believe very strongly that if we have an independent judiciary and if people are able to access justice and have confidence in the justice delivery system, then we reduce opportunities for violence, and we create a better climate for investment and trade, and generally have a more peaceful and secure environment in the country.
Going back to Zimbabwe, there was a landmark ruling where women, when they booked at the police station, they are now allowed to wear their underwear. How important is such a ruling?
It was sad that it had to actually go to the level of the Constitutional Court. The dignity of any woman who finds herself having to spend time in police custody. Honestly, the issues around sanitation, being able to wear your own underwear and to be treated with respect, to get clean water and to be in a habitable environment. People who are in custody, whilst they might lose their freedom, are still presumed innocent, and we believe that all of their rights should be respected while they are in custody. So it was a very good ruling for us.
As the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, what other issues to do with women are you currently working on?
There's a range of different issues. Some of them are specific to women, but there's a lot of issues which affect society in general. The ability to access the courts, to deal with some of the socioeconomic issues that face women, and their children, when you look at access to education and to health services. Those are some of the issues that we're now researching and hoping to take forward, either through engagement with government and other authorities, or if needs be, with litigation.
We've seen people like Beatrice Mutetwa being harassed. What's the environment like for you?
The rights of all women, not just women lawyers, but to try and create a conducive environment for everybody to work in.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Irene Petras, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum.
Thank you so much.
Irene Petras is the Executive Director of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights.
Marvelous Mtlanganya, we hope you're going to have a lovely weekend.
Put your flags up in the sky.
In the 2014 World Cup this evening, Nigeria faced Bosnia-Herzegovina in a Group F match. The Super Eagles are expected to pull their socks in this game after what critics say was a sloppy performance against Iran. The two sides settled for a goalless draw. In other matches, Belgium clashed with Russia tomorrow, while Korea Republic will play against Algeria, United States versus Portugal. And in local football, Dynamos host bitter rivals Islanders tomorrow at the National Sports Stadium. And now this song from Sanda Ndebele, dedicated to all her fans. Sandra Ndebele is a superstar in Zimbabwe, and she used to be in the Inkululeko Yabatsha School of Arts. Inkululeko Yabatsha School of Arts is now under Innocent Dube. But Sandra Ndebele is still pulling alone and doing wonderful things. Now to recap today's top stories. The National Social Security Authority says at least 10 companies are closing down every month in Zimbabwe as the economy continues to decline. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C. Good night, Zimbabwe.
Siyabonga ke Gibbs Dube. Siyalambulela emsakazweni weStudio 7 ngomgqibelo womhlaka 21 ngoNhlangula 2014. Silethulela uhlelo lwezindaba zeZimbabwe. Sisakaza sise Washington DC. Sitholakala emoyeni lasebulenjini ku-internet kuwebsite yethu ethi www.voandebele.com. Lingali chona njani zulukanda baulamukela emoyeni ngenjabulo enkulu igama lami ngu Chris Gande endabeni zethu lamhlanje. Ugatsha lwe-National Social Security Authority i-NASA luthi kulamankampani angamachumi ayisithupha asevaliwe kusukela ekuqaleni komnyaka. Inhlanganiso yezisebenzi ithini ngalolu daba?
Ku-manifesto yezanu PF kade besithi baza